Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Friday was a day, a dark day. Friday was a very, very dark day. But to understand the importance of and endure the Friday, one needed to know and understand the purpose of the first day of the week. One had to understand what it was going to be like when the light came out again, when all of the powers of darkness were subservient to that one power, the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus had spoken privately to his disciples concerning his coming death many times throughout his journey. The first time seems to be about 6 months into his ministry. They didn't want to hear it. And of course, we don't want to hear of somebody dying. We won't want to hear of our loved one being gone, especially when they understood that he had come to establish a kingdom. Although they didn't understand that the kingdom that he came to establish was within the hearts of man, they saw it as an earthly kingdom. They probably felt a little bit like we who lost an election, maybe. They probably felt like those who thought the political class was going to turn and come out right. They were looking. In fact, there were times that they vied who would sit on the right and who would sit on the left hand. They wanted to reign in his kingdom. He had tried to show them the purpose of this great sacrifice that we call Calvary. Jesus tried to show his disciples at various times and in a variety of ways that he must lay down his life so that he could redeem you and I, them, from sin. And by laying down his life and receiving the ultimate punishment, he could also receive the ultimate victory. The only way out was through Jesus. It's still the only way out. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all and in all. The road to Calvary and the death of Christ was intense and extremely vile and traumatic. Last week, we observed the Lord's Supper, his body that was broken and his blood that was shed for our sins, for our illnesses, etc. The road to Calvary, as extreme as it was, the extreme beauty of the sacrifice of Calvary is revealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever lost somebody only to wish that you could walk down the road with them again, that somehow, some way you could have communication with them. I lost my parents 20, 35 years ago, and there are times when an event will happen and I say, man, I wish my mom could share this or my father could share this. I wish I could ask a question of this. I wish they could enjoy their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, but that is not to be. There are some things we have to shut the door on and say, well, that's just life. That's the way it is. I must move on from here. So it seemed to be for the disciples of Christ, because most of them had fled, except for John the beloved. He stood at the cross, or kneeled at the cross, or sat at the cross, and was given responsibility for the care of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Everybody else fled. Everybody else left. Everybody else went away. And it was after the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find two individuals. Cleopas is one that is given a name. The other remains unnamed. And so it's not the names of the individuals, but we know it was a real story. It wasn't a parable. In other words, it wasn't just some image that was given to tell a spiritual church truth. It wasn't a metaphor. It was a reality. The Bible says in Luke 24 and 13, and now behold, two of them, the disciples, were traveling the same day to the village of Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. This is on resurrection morning. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. I want us to understand that sometimes Jesus is there even though that we can't see him. Jesus is present even though we're not aware of him. He's always there. He had said, you know what, I'm going to die, but I'm going to see you in Galilee. This isn't the end. This is a new beginning. And Easter is about not the end, but a brand new beginning. We can rise to newness, newness of life, a new day in our life. And so they don't understand who he is, and they begin to have a conversation with him. And Jesus asks leading questions, and he knows what the answers are, but he asks him, why so glum? Why are you depressed? Why aren't you feeling good? And sometimes in our lives, we have those moments where we don't feel good. It's not bad to not feel good. It's just part of life. Grief is part of life in a sin-filled world. Grief is part of life because of death. And so they're grieving because this one that they had set aside all for, all of their lives, they had given up their dreams, and now they were following Jesus, and he was gone. But he wasn't really gone. They just thought he was gone. And so he begins to preach to them. And this is very interesting to me. In verse 32, it says, in the next verses, it says he opened the scriptures and began to reveal to them from Moses on through the prophets that this was all prophesied, that it was all foretold that this would happen. That should be great news for you and I, because there's a lot of things that have been promised in our day that we have not yet seen. There's going to be a great harvest and an end time revival that's greater than the first day of Pentecost. I haven't seen it yet, but I believe I'm beginning to see that happen. And if the Old Testament prophets were true, then surely the New Testament prophets are true alike. So he's preaching to them from Moses. In other words, God had planned this all out, and he had written it down. It wasn't like at the end to say, oh, I knew that. You know, we guess and we say, oh, I knew that. And afterwards, I could have told you that. Well, why didn't you tell me that? Because you really couldn't have told me that. But Jesus wasn't that way. He was saying, see, in my word, I said. And when God speaks, it will come to pass, because God cannot lie. It's not just that he won't, but he cannot lie because he is truth. And then the Bible says that they stop at where their destination is and invite him into dinner. And he says, sure, I'll stop and I'll have dinner with you. And then he begins to break the bread and he prays. And maybe it was the way in which he had done it. And when they opened their eyes, he was gone. Now, his physical being was gone, but something had happened. Never in their life had Jesus just disappeared from their midst. But in verse 32, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I have to ask you today, as the Word of God unfolds in your life, as somebody has taught you a home Bible study, as you read the Word of God, do you feel something burning inside of you? It's because God is alive and he is speaking to you, and the Word of God is truth, and it's designed to confront falsehood. And the truth is, he loved you, and he still loves you, and he gave his life for you so you could rise to newness of life. You don't have to stay in your past. You don't have to stay in your sin. I thank God for that. Thank you, Sister Lisa. I was a wretch. Yes, we were all wretches, but now we're saved by his marvelous grace, and I'm thankful for that. So they're all confused. They're all excited, but they're so convinced that they have seen Jesus that listen to what verse number 32 says. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. Now here's the beautiful thing. If we really have an encounter with Jesus Christ, we just can't help but tell somebody, hey, I've met Jesus. Hey, I encountered him. Oh, Sergio, you encountered Jesus. You encountered the blood of Jesus in that tank. And we're going to read those scriptures in just a minute. But it's undeniable. And see, Mary and Martha had already seen the angels and run back. And Peter and John had run to the tomb and back. And this was the third set of circumstances that confirmed that Christ was indeed risen, and they begin to rejoice. This is what's interesting, is as they were declaring that he was alive, he appeared in their midst. There's something about saying thank you, Jesus, for the blood. There's something about declaring he who was and is to come. There is no rival. There is no equal. As we declare his power, his glory, that he's alive, that he's the Redeemer, he shows up, and he is in the midst of us today, whether here or in the simulcast auditorium. Jesus is here. And they look like they'd seen a spirit. Well, guess what? It's the Holy Spirit that we feel. That's the Spirit of Christ Jesus that lives inside of us. Oh, how glorious and wondrous a day we celebrate, Easter. Christ has risen. He has risen. And it is with joy that we declare this. I heard a commentator say, somebody in the New York Times, which is the called the paper of record, it's the record of the demise of America, I guess, said, how about for Passover, we pass over God and forget God for a week? Some are saying that. But Passover was all about the deliverance out of slavery for the Jews. It's all about our deliverance from sin. That's what Passover, that's what Easter is all about. We have a reason to celebrate. Others may say he is not, he cannot, he will not. But you and I know better, because he showed up and he saved a wretch like me. He redeemed me. He delivered me. He freed me. I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be yet. Because Christ is risen, and I have risen to newness of life. Oh, am I perfect? No, not by a long shot. Are you? Uh-uh. But this is a journey that we are taking with Jesus. And he's walking not just beside us, but he is living in us now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so they were terrified and frightened. Now, we're not terrified and frightened, because many have said, and we have experienced, that this spirit that we feel is not an evil spirit. It's not some weird ghost. It's not some telepathic image. It's not just something that's projected by mankind. But God has actually arrived in our midst. Perhaps this is when it began to gel. I don't know if somebody has made a statement to you and you go, oh, I forgot about that. Anybody shared a memory and then and you went, oh yeah, I forgot, but now I remember. And it's just like Sister Lily said, two in a row baptized on Easter. And I said, who was the one last? Aubrey. Now I can see Aubrey in my mind, but I'd forgotten. Aubrey got baptized last Easter. And the memories come back. And so it was perhaps with Jesus' disciples, is that now he says, hey, touch me, touch my hands, touch my, look at the, I'm here. I'm real. And part of the reason they were terrified is because there were walls and they were shut in for fear of the Jews. They had locked the place. They had put the shutters on the windows. That means it was completely sealed up, and Jesus shows up. There is no barrier that can keep Jesus out. There's no iron curtain. I'm so thankful. I was listening to Fox News, and I don't I do often, but on the way to work today, I just turned on the radio was on when I got in the car, and they were interviewing the Ukrainians, and they were talking about why they sing on Easter Sunday. They were interviewing these people in a war-torn country, and they were gathered together to sing because of hope. Because even though there is physical war, there is victory in the eternal realm. Even though they were facing mortal enemies, they knew that they would live forever and ever with Christ Jesus one day. How good to hear that on public broadcasting. Christ is alive. Jesus had told them. I'm going to die, but that's not the end. That's a new beginning. You and I went down into the baptism of waters. Thank you, Sergio, for obeying the Christ gospel. Thank you for identifying with Jesus Christ. We got to die, be buried, to rise again in newness of life. Jesus had to die. He's talking to his disciples, and in John 10 and 17, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? This is the Son of God. This is the flesh of God. This is the only begotten of the Father. That we're not begotten, but we're born of him. This was the only begotten. He says, you know why my dad loves me? Because I'm laying down my life so I can take it up again. Because I'm obeying him. I'm doing what he called me to do. He called me to lay down my life. But in laying down my life, I have the hope of raising again. In the very next verse, he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Oh, I love that. Sometimes we think, well, it was Pilate that sentenced him. It were the soldiers, and he couldn't resist them. He was just too wore out, so he just laid himself down. He says, no, they can't take my life. If I wanted to keep it, I could keep it. I have the power of life and death. He was the one that three times, it's illustrated in Scripture, raised people from the dead. It was Lazarus out of the tomb after 3 days. It was the little maid in the room, and it was the boy on the bier as they were taking him through the city. He had power. He says, look, you can't take from me what I am the author of, but I'm laying it down. I did that on purpose. I willfully did it. Why? So I can take it up again. Because he knew on the other side of Calvary, the life that he would have would be greater than the life that he had had before. Oops, did I say that out loud? But it's true. Listen to the statement of Jesus. Not before the crucifixion, but after the crucifixion. Not when he did his first miracle, but when he had made himself known for 40 days to his disciples after his resurrection. In Matthew 28 and 17, it says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Don't worry about the doubters. You're a believer. There's always going to be some naysayers. There's still some flat earthers out there. Yeah, they're there. There's still some people that say there is no God. They're there, but that doesn't mean there isn't God. And it doesn't mean that the earth is flat. We know that fact does not change. Some doubt it. Here he is in front of them in full view, stretching out his hands, and they have scars. He has sandals on, and they're scars, and he looks like that guy, but there's something different about him. So some worshiped him, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There was a difference between before Calvary and after Calvary. Why? Because he laid down his life. Why? For your sake, for my sake. He took our sins upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He did that for you and I. Why? Because he knew he wasn't going to stay in the grave. He knew that that was just a transitory thing. He knew that he would be buried, but they could bury him all they want. They could seal the stone over the tomb, but he was going to take it up again. He had all power. Why? Because he had defeated death, hell, and the grave. Thank God for that power. He rose to newness. Oh, I'm so happy about that. I'm so glad about that. Because of that, I have a new life. I have joy in my spirit. Oh, we're shouting not because the world's perfect, because he was the perfect sacrifice. He lived, bled, died, but he rose again. Christ had to lay down his life to take it up again. And I'm so glad that he did. I'm even more thankful that he took it up for my sake And he gave you and I a pathway to new life. You and I too can have that privilege. If you will obey the Father and lay down your life through repentance, that's called death. Death to our own will, our own passions, our own desires, governance of our own life. We say, I'm dying out. I'm saying, it's not about me anymore. It's about you, Jesus. Yeah. And we point ourselves in a different direction. Can anybody identify with that? Oh, yeah. I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I'm not going the way that I used to go. That was repentance. Repentance is great. I drive by the cemetery almost every day on the way to work because I live over on the other side of the hill. Recently I drove by and I think it must be it's not the New Year or something, but the Oriental area of the cemetery is just loaded with flowers right now for some reason. I should have done my research to find out why, but man, there's tens of thousands of flowers in that area of the cemetery. And they're honoring the dead. It may be Ancestors Day or something like that. I don't know. But I have never seen them just lay the body on top of the ground and throw a little bit of dirt on top. They'd be in big trouble, weren't they? We've seen things like that in the news, right? No. They dig a hole. And they put the casket down in. And if you want them to, you can watch them throw the dirt back in to make sure that that person's buried. That's signifying they're dead. There's no more life in them. We're buried with him in baptism. Listen to Romans 6 and 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So that's repentance. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? It's like putting us in that borrowed tomb. We're just borrowing that water for a little bit. It's just a temporary thing.
Right.
I've teased people and say, we got to hold you down until the bubbles quit. But here, some of you might take a while. But here we are. We're buried with him in baptism. We're identifying. You know what the beautiful thing is? Is when we repent on earth, there is a forgiveness in heaven. When we're buried in his name on earth, there is a cleansing that is in heaven. Listen to verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. This is where we're buried, and when we come out of that water, we are freed from sin. Later in that chapter, it says the body of sin is destroyed. The body of evidence is destroyed. In God's book, he just scribbles it out. No, he puts it this way. I throw it as far as the east is from the west. I seal it in a bag, and I drop it in the bottom of the sea. He gets rid of our sin. Why? Because we have died and been buried with him. If he rose with all power, we rise in newness of life and with great power in our life when we come out of that water. So here's the beautiful thing. It's still wet and it's still warm. There might be a few sins swimming around in there, but don't worry, you'll be all right. No, that water doesn't cleanse you, but your obedience to Christ Jesus and identifying with his burial will seal the deal for you. That's why we baptize into the name of Jesus Christ, because that's who we're identifying with. We're identifying with Christ Jesus, our Savior, the one that says, all power. All power is given to me. Guess what? It doesn't just happen here on a Sunday. It can happen
any day of the week. And I know he disappeared for just a moment. But Wednesday afternoon, in the middle of a workday, Brother Michael McMurphy was having a conversation with Silas about his salvation. And the Holy Ghost moved into that work job site. And he began to tremble. And he said, "What is that?" And Michael explained to him it was the power of the Holy Ghost. And when they got in the car and headed home, they drove over the river, the Clackamas River. And he said, "Baptize me in that river right now." And he said, "Hey, I got some warmer place to baptize you." So sure enough, they came to the church and baptized him. And Brother John Hughes, videoed it. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost
on a Wednesday afternoon. Why? It's not when. It's how. It's how. There is newness of life when we're buried with him in baptism.
We'll rise in newness of life. Now, this is a little different than most Pentecostal altars. I just ask you, if you want the Holy Ghost, you can come forward now. But what's going to happen is the chorale is going to begin to sing about the deliverance that came on Easter Sunday. Well, for us, it was Sunday. Very early on the first day of the week, it rattled all of hell. It rattled the whole of the spiritual realm. And this is what I'm going to encourage you to do as we close out this service. You can get up, you can dance in the aisle, you can come to the front and stand and worship. I don't care, because the rest of it, whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do, I might interject some words, I might not interject some words. It's time to celebrate, huh? I mean, if somebody you lost all of a sudden came back from the dead, and you got to keep the inheritance, well, it'd be all right. We'd feel good about that. Well, the only way that it could happen, the Bible says there's no inheritance as long as the testator is alive. So when Jesus died, he released the inheritance, but he rose again. Let the Holy Ghost rattle through your soul. Worship him. Stand to your feet.